need to understand so much of the why in order for us to get a bigger picture of what God intended for all of us here today. You know, a few years ago, there was an article wrote about a television advertisement. And in this advertisement, there was this lady in the car, oblivious of what is around her. And suddenly, a rough, tough man broke the window, opened the door, grabbed her, and yanked her out of the car. And everybody who saw that was surprised because they did not know that it was an advertisement. So they were shocked. And as he was pulling her out from the car, she was also shocked and wondered what was happening. Little did she realize there was a fire that was already burning behind that car. And she was still sitting in that car. And the advertisement ends with this phrase, "Get a bigger picture." Because sometimes we look at an incident, we never understand why. Why it happened? And the advertisement tells me it is so necessary and essential that we all need a bigger picture. Today, we need to remind ourselves we are confronted and buffeted with all kinds of issues and problems in life. And some of us are facing the consequences of yesteryears. And we never understand. We pray through many times and wonder why it happens. Today, I just want to take you along with that because in our spiritual walk, when you have a small spiritual life or small spiritual understanding, you will never be allowed to see God's purposes and God's plans. We can't see God's bigger picture. Just like Israelites, they needed a big picture in order to cross into the promised land. But because they were in wilderness, they were unable to see the big picture in front of them because of the struggles and the pain and the problem they went through. So they were not able to see a big picture that God had for them. When Joshua were there at the Jordan River, they could only see the river is difficult to cross. They knew they were giants, they were big people. The cities were fortified with great walls. And they wonder, why did you bring me to this place? We all need a bigger picture. The bigger picture in the Bible shows us, or rather unfolds, the promised land that will be given to them. They were told about it, but because of all the struggles they went through, everything else became oblivious. Everything else was bleak. They were not able to see the promised land. But they were told that this is your land. You have to enter it. You have to possess it. And the Lord assures them that His presence was with them. The bigger picture is in God's hands. The bigger picture is always in God's hands. Sometimes you may not see it clearly today. I would assume some of us are still having this problem and or difficulty of understanding why. Why this thing happens. Why it happened. Why not the other thing happens. We will soon experience the work of God's hand because the big picture is right in His hands. So what does it mean to have this bigger picture? Let us, for a moment, let's go into Joshua 1 and Joshua 2. And let us understand the background of that story for a start. I want you to look at the story right now. Joshua and the Israelites, the people of God, they were heading towards something huge, something big. Because God's promises are always big and great. Amen? But unfortunately, the previous generation of the Israelites, they were crippled with fear. The moment fear crept in their lives, they started to reject God's promises. When the fear comes into your heart, you start to refute or even to forfeit the opportunity to actually possess the land. So this is what happened to Israelites. And that was during the leadership of Moses. Lo and behold, we saw a young man who worked as an intern and working alongside with Moses. His name was Joshua. Joshua was an exceptional leader. He was an exceptional in his faith. If you remember the 12 earlier spies that were told to explore the land, and 10 of them came back with negative report, but two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they were very positive because they knew who their God was, and they said, God is able, this is going to be good, we can do it because God is with us. But the 10 spies have despised the whole entire suggestion. And so they were all in wilderness. But we knew Joshua was an exceptional leader, a man of great faith. So my question is, how was Joshua going to do anything about this? The land still looks very scary. The giants were still there. The Amalekites were still there. The Philistines were still there. And almost every ice you can think of, they were still there. So that was a very scary moment. Cities were all huge. Walls were all very thick. And by the way, Deuteronomy 34 tells me a very impressive report about who Moses was. The Bible says this, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh and all his officials in his whole land. For no one, the Bible says, no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So Moses has a very impressive report about him, but now he's dead. Joshua has to face up with that. So it's no surprise for Joshua to be afraid, just like any one of us would. But how is he going to do what Moses could not do at that time? How is he going to do those things? How am I going to wear Moses' shoes? It's going to be tough, isn't it? So we need the bigger picture of that, of this entire story. And so I'm going to take you through some passages to understand the full picture of God's intention for His people to go into the land and possess it. Why do they have to face all these challenges? In verse 1 to 9, perhaps I want you to look at verse 1 to 3 in Joshua 1. The Bible actually showed us this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Listen to the phrase. The Lord already gave them a promise. I am about, and then verse 3, he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Which means to say, listen very carefully, God is teaching Joshua something, and for all of us as well. This is one very powerful lesson. No matter what happened, even Moses is dead, but the promises of God still stay. Are you with me? I do not know what the promises of God to you, but I can tell you one thing. It's all in the Bible. He has spoken. He says, I am with you. That promise, no matter what you go through, no matter what darkness you face, the promises of God still stay. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. No matter what your circumstances tells you today, no matter what future it may seem, no matter how bleak it may be, no matter what health condition you are in, God says, I am with you. That's the promise. Nothing is going to change that. You see, it's not about the faithfulness of Moses. It's not about the faithfulness of a minister or a pastor or a leader or an apostle or a prophet. No, 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 no. It's about the faithfulness of God. That's the reason why we are here in church. We are here in church not because of somebody else's faithfulness, but because of His faithfulness. That's why we're here. You see, the promises of God was given way back during Genesis time. In fact, Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abraham, go to the land I will show you. Genesis 15. He says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possessions. It was a few hundred years even before that. The land, a promise for the land, was already spoken. No matter what you go through, no matter how difficult your pathway is, no matter what struggle you have, the promises of God still stay. You can't change that. Your circumstances can't change that. Your health can't change that. But I'll tell you what, the promises of God will change your situation. It will assure you to face your challenges. So God's encouragement came straight right on to Joshua. And the Bible says this, be strong and courageous. And again, the Bible repeatedly said this, be strong and very courageous. The Lord understands his people. Do you know that? He knows our situation. The fear was in their hearts. It is very obvious. Here they are facing with this River Jordan, knowing what the city is like before, knowing what the forefathers said about the giants. They were all afraid. But the Lord gave a very powerful and assuring word to Joshua, and it's all written in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Somebody say amen. I think this generation needs to hear that word again. Amen. We need to hear that the word of the Lord says, I am with you. I will be with you forever. You can be in a new place. You can be in a situation where you're not sure of your career, not sure of what's going to happen. I can tell you one thing. The circumstances do not dictate your next step. It is the faithfulness and the promises of God. It will dictate your next decision. If that is the case, then what sort of trust look like today? What sort of trust? How do you go about trusting the word of the Lord spoken to us, telling us, do not be afraid, be courageous? How then should I trust those words, the one who gave those words? Verse 7 and verse 8 give us a very, very potent and powerful passage for you to live with today. Listen to the verse. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Man, every time when we read this verse, I can't help it. Looking at the last sentence, then you'll be prosperous and successful. I know the Chinese loves that. Love to be prosperous and successful. Who doesn't like it? Isn't it? All races in this world will love that verse, isn't it? I believe everyone can be and will be prosperous as long as we live in His grace. But then we must understand what that prosperity is all about. Because we are so limited with our understanding, prosperity is always about money. Am I right or not? Isn't it true? Come on, how many honest people around here? We are told to obey all the law. He said, be careful to obey all the law. Not part of it, not some of it, all the law. That's why Christians are having a lot of problems today. I'll tell you why. Because when they read the Bible, they read part of it. They don't read all of it. When they obey the part that they like to obey. Other part, they do not want to obey. Isn't it true? How many honest people again? Come on. Okay, slightly more now. Praise God. I'm going to keep asking you about honesty today. But he says what? Don't turn to the left, not to the right. When you start obeying the law, the word of the Lord, he says, don't turn to the left, not to the right. Don't get distracted. We are so easily distracted by a lot of situations around us. Isn't it true? All right? When we do something and then we know that we need to do another thing, we get so distracted with those things and we get stuck into it and forgot to do the other thing. That's the problem. We get a lot of distraction. That's what the enemy is good at. I'll tell you one of the greatest tools which most people talk about deception, but there's one more tool he's very good at. It's called distraction. That's why the Lord says, fix your eyes upon him. Because he knew that the people of God will get easily distracted. So I tell you what, the Lord told the people, and this is what we all need to do. We all need to be very focused. Obey all the law and not get distracted. The other thing he says, don't let the book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Everywhere I go, I just want to talk about the goodness of God. I want to talk about the Lord is wanting to do certain things in our lives. Because when you drink coffee, I just want to put in something and say, you know what the Lord has done? This is what the Lord, what do you think God is doing? I want to add on to what the Lord is doing. I would never sit down with somebody, drink coffee, and not say anything about God. I will not. I remember my son telling me, he says, why don't you just go for holiday and not talk and not do ministry? I can't. That's me. I can go for holiday 3 days. After that, I just want to do something. I just want to bless somebody. I just want to share somebody. Bless you. But you know something about this truth? Is that the Lord says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And this is something that we are trying to encourage, but a lot of Christians today are not fulfilling that by thinking through what God is saying. What does God mean by saying that? What does God want when I do this? What does it mean? We don't even ask that question anymore. And I thought to myself, that is the reason why the world of Christianity is losing out the impact and the power today. We need to talk about what God is doing. You know why? Because God's word contains God's bigger picture. We can never know his big picture until we put our hand into his words and work through and study and understand and obey and run through it. So if you want to get a bigger picture, you got to meditate upon his word and understand why. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Did I say that word? Amen. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So Joshua is now preparing to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So he was reminded in that verse again, and I'm going to repeat that verse several times because this is a very powerful passage. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so repeatedly he says, be strong and courageous. Until to the last part, he said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a promising words that Joshua needed to have. I believe these are the same promising words that we all need to have when we face up with 2017. God spoke to Joshua in this passage. And I want you to know, once it was spoken, he was encouraged, he was inspired, and now he's motivated to bring that truth back to his people. So Joshua echoes God's word to the people. How many of you know, when God speaks to the man must speak to the people? Are you with me? And this is what Joshua did in verse 10 onwards. And he spoke to the people initially in verse 10, in verse 11, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over these Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Again, he was told that they are going to possess. And now he echoes the word to them and they knew that they have to go and possess. And verse 12 to verse 15, he spoke to the 2.5 tribes. Who are they? Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. While they were crossing River Jordan, God already gave them the land that they were supposed to dwell in. So they already have the land. Now Joshua is telling them, but the mission is not over yet. You are supposed to help your brethren and bring them through that land and possess it. Help them through. Fight the war. And as I read that, I realize Joshua's instruction was very clear. To help their brethren. Isn't it true? Help their brethren to achieve or to reach God's inheritance. Which means to say very clearly for all of us. Just because you and I achieve our dreams does not necessarily mean that we must leave the rest aside. It is of utmost importance that as long as you are a believer who enjoy the benefits of salvation, any one of us who have enjoyed the goodness and the grace of God should not just enjoy without passing on. That's the reason why we spoke about evangelism. We need to evangelize and not leave the rest lost. We need to bring them back to the reality of life. God has a personal interest in people's life. So when you serve God, you also serve one another. If I have the strength of this area, it is my responsibility to use that strength and to provide to whomsoever may need those strength. Whatever wisdom God has imparted and taught me for the past 30 years of ministry, it is of utmost importance that I will not keep those things and put it on the shelf and not pass on to anybody. It is of utmost importance that whatever God has taught me, it is my responsibility not only to pass on, but to bless the person with God's word and God's blessing upon me. We cannot leave the rest aside. Even though I may have achieved that, but it is important that you too can achieve. So we actually heard God spoke to Joshua. And now Joshua echoed on to his 2.5 tribes and the people of God. Now listen to what the people spoke to Joshua. It is now taken in Joshua 1, verse 16 to 17. What did he say? Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obey Moses, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Now, apparently, these people all agreed. It is very important that when the leader has a vision and casts it to the people, it is important that they come on board with the leader to have the same vision and to do it what God has intended it to be. But then there's one problem here. Israelites have a track record. Even though they said, yes, I will obey Joshua just as we obeyed Moses. But the problem is, the track record shows me that every time when they say, yes, I will obey, but they did not. Are you with me? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It is so true today that sometimes we all agree, but then somehow in the midst of that journey, or we just drop off from there. We got irritated, we got frustrated, we did not see it, and we start questioning God, and then we just push the promises away. So because of that, God was very careful. He assured the people that he is with Joshua. The kind of leader is very important. I'm speaking for every leader. Not only in the church, but in every field that we have. If you are going to lead the nation and you don't have the kind of hearts, don't ever lead. Because you will destroy the nation. Likewise, in the body of Christ, if you don't have the godliness and the holiness of God in your life to lead people, don't ever lead. You destroy people's lives. just about a few days ago, sitting down with a few pastors. I've only been here 11 years. They have been here like 20, 30 years. And they were talking about some ministers and leaders of the church. When they were speaking about it, they were talking about it, my heart just crushed inside and I was in pain. I'm not exaggerating. I was in pain because when I heard that, I came back and I told my wife, I said, no wonder, no wonder the Christian world in Australia is not making an impact. I would never be surprised if someone were to tell me, what's the difference? What's the difference if I see these leaders like that? What's the difference if I see these pastors of a certain rank in a council behave like that? How can I live my life as a Christian? I look at it and I was just baffled and confused and angry and annoyed and disappointed. I can describe all those words in my heart, yet at the same time, I just look at it helplessly. And I said only one thing to the Lord. Lord, help me to preach the word without watering down the passage or the scriptures. Number two, I said, Lord, keep my life pure. Keep my life pure. We do not stand behind this pulpit to take advantage of people's emotions and people's lives. We do not stand behind the pulpit to destroy people's lives. We do not stand behind the pulpit to take advantage of people's finance. We do not stand behind the pulpit to take advantage of people's family. But these have been done. My heart was crushed. And I made my promise to the Lord, Lord, let this be a lesson, not for me to condemn, but for me to declare to you, Lord, forgive us. For we have not lived up to our leadership as the body of Christ in this nation. The kind of leader is very important, because the leader will determine at the end what sort of church it will be. It's not about the bigness and the greatness number. If you want to talk about the bigness and the greatness, the number to determine the leadership, sorry, sir. Adolf Hitler had the whole nation. He has more people than you have. But what does that speak about him? Pol Pot had the whole nation. Idi Amin had the whole nation. What does it say about the leader? The numbers does not determine. It's in the eyes of God, the righteousness of God must prevail. Leaders must rise up as righteous ones and stop playing around. Because leaders must be righteous. How many of you agree what I just said? Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I got more honest people around. In chapter 2, now, they have another story, the spy story. And this is what happened. Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, the mother is not a nun. Huh? Just son of Nun, all right? Sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So the two spies were sent and they went. And of course, you know the story. They were hiding in this house that a prostitute by the name of Rahab resides or live in. And you probably wonder, man, what in the world is happening? Why did the two spies landed up in the prostitute house? Now, by the way, these spies are not that good anyway. They are not raised up as James Bond. They are just novice, okay? Novices. And so when they went over to another land, they were easily detected. How do you know that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible says the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. What a nice buy. Everybody knew they came in. So much for traveling under the radar, isn't it? And they already found out who they were. But Rahab hid them, kept them in this on this roof, and because of that bale of hay that they had a harvest during the time, so it was kept there. So they were hiding there. The Bible says here in verse 8 to verse 12, it is a very important passage for today. Very important. Because when they were hiding, and then gradually when Rahab deceived the king's men and king of Jericho's men and told them that the spies ran over the other side, but she was actually hiding them in her place. And finally, when that was over, there was a conversation between Rahab and the two spies. And this is what happened. These are the words of Rahab. And I want you to take note of that. She says this, "I know that the Lord has given you this land." Remember, she's in Jericho while the people of God were in the other side of the land and they were in the wilderness as well. And this is what she says. "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." Today, people are not afraid of the one we worship. They despise the living God. During that time, it was different. And listen to the words. "We have heard," listen, "we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you and when you came out of Egypt." Wow! That was way back on the other side and they even heard about it. I pray today that God will help other people to hear about Life Solution. Somebody say amen. Amen. That they will hear about it. And then he went on to say that for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed, and when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. You know, Rahab did something. She hid these spies because she knew whom she was dealing with. Are you with me? She knew whom she was dealing with. She was not dealing with Israel. She was dealing with the God of Israel. Her action projected to all of us that it is so clear that all her faith was demonstrated because she knew that she is dealing with the Almighty God now. The God who opened up the Red Sea, the God who opened up River Jordan, and the God who delivered them from the hands of the Amorites. Brothers and sisters, you are not dealing with your situations. You are not dealing with another company or bosses or whatever. You're dealing with God. You are not dealing with your home struggles. You're dealing with a God who is the Lord of your home. Are you with me? Let us understand that. You're not dealing with the challenges in your career. You're dealing with the Almighty God of your career. So let us today ask ourselves, do you know whom are we dealing with every day? Rahab is a very, very smart woman. Yes, she was a prostitute before she knew God. But when she heard all these things, you gradually notice that her heart was changed. Her faith was demonstrated. She was intelligent and she has this perception and very perceptive woman, very well informed. She acted, the Bible tells me, she acted in the light of who God is. Today, would your life be expressed according to who God is? In other words, whenever I know who my God is, I will not even dare to step in that area where God says it's a no-no area. Don't even try and do that. Don't even dare to stop it. And people say, come on, be brave. No, this is not good. This is not right. I will not even bother to step on it. Why? Because I know who my God is. I live my life according who my God is. I will be very careful with what I say in terms of vulgarity or curses. Why? Because I know who my God is. I live according to who my God is. My God is holy, and therefore I shall be holy. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Therefore, I need to be holy. I need to be holy not just on Sunday. I need to be holy every day of my life. Some of us, we are holy when we talk to pastors, isn't it? Wow, talk to pastors, must put the hello. Hello, Pastor. How are you, Pastor? Very good. And when you talk to them, hey, they smile. But inside, if your life is not changed, if your life is not changed, the pastor may not know, but I tell you why, your family definitely knows. Isn't it true? If it's not your husband, your wife, or your children will know. So let us be very careful. Live according to who God is. That's what Rahab did. And that's why Rahab's faith was registered in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2 onwards. So now the spies have returned and brought this message. The message was very clear in verse 24. The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear before us. So what is the point of this? The point of this is very obvious. God is faithful towards His promises. Somebody say amen. God is faithful towards His promises. You and I, God's people, are called to trust Him, to be strong, to be courageous, and to obey Him. Joshua in chapter 2, in verse 4 and 5, he says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So what does this story mean to all of us today? There are only two perspectives. One, God's promises stays. No matter what you go through, His promises stays. No matter what challenges you go through, His promises still stays. And what is the second perspective? The second perspective is this. God wants us to see life from His perspective. What is that? I'll tell you what. His promises comes with His presence. I repeat that. His promises comes with His presence. When you are moving towards the area of inheriting God's promises, you must understand this. Listen very carefully. Throughout the year 2017, you can or you will not be or you will not be able to inherit God's promises. All depends on this. As long as you know that His promises must come with His presence, you will not be able to inherit His promises when His presence is not there. The Bible tells me Joshua and the entire Israelites, the nation, went in and possess the land is all because the Lord says, I will be with you. We will not be able to hold on and achieve the promises without the presence of God. And with that, I want you to know His words are guaranteed. No matter what your challenges will be, God's presence will not be dismissed. No wonder the Lord says, don't be afraid. He said this, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. These are the words are like water to the thirsty ones. These are the words are like the battery to the car. These are the words is like the wind to the birds. These are the words are like the sail to the sheep. We need to be reminded again and again that he said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. And when I see that, the ability for Joshua to reach the land and possess the land and conquer Jericho, Ai, and all the rest of the kings is because God was with them. I believe with all my heart, Moses knew what it means to inherit God's promises, all written there. Joshua also knew about that. The Israelites knew about it. We all knew about that. And you and I today, we need the Holy Spirit to help us, to enlighten us even more. Today, my question, are we facing our giants? Are we lacking anything? I want you to know, all this big picture that we're talking about is all in Jesus Christ right now. Everything is in Him. And with Him, everything is sufficient. God is saying, I am enough. That's why He's called the Almighty God. If there is loneliness that is creeping in your life, God is enough for you. If there are some difficulty in your marriage, God is enough for you. If there is a busyness and exhaustion of motherhood, God is enough for you. If there are pressures of this world pressing hard on our lives, God is enough for you. Why? Because He says, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. Today, we need to inherit God's promises. And I want to prepare you for that. When you go through it, then you will see the big picture of God's promises. When you see those things, you will understand the facts. But you may ask the question, what should I do then? May I repeat this passage for all of us as we close in prayer. How do we go about inheriting God's promises? Listen to this passage. God said this to Joshua. What did He say? Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. What your challenges that you have in 2016, it may not be resolved as yet. Some of us, we have health challenges. Some of us, we have career challenges. Some of us, we have different sorts of challenges that we sometimes may not comprehend fully. But today, you and I know very clearly, looking at the picture of Joshua, how they moved from where they were into the promised land. That whole entire process, the Lord already said, these are my promises. And in order for them to reach, they have to see God's bigger picture in His promises so that they may inherit them. And I'm helping you today to inherit God's promises for this year, 2017. Listen very carefully. Don't miss that out. Amen? Don't miss that out. His promises come with His presence. You say, oh, I want that promise. I want that promise. But if we do not live in and by His presence, the promises may look good, but it may not be achievable. But the moment His presence is with you, then there is a great possibility for you to reach that promise. The inheritance is all yours. Either you achieve it and reach it, all depends on the presence of God. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. 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 I want you to stand together with me right now.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.